Welcome to the Clickbait and Switch podcast, a marketing podcast that tries to cut through the bullshit and hook you up with what you need to know, what you don't, and what story should be getting more love than they're getting. I'm Mark Delinsky, on the other mic, Gisella Slizer. Today, Bitmoji classrooms, Google blurs the search result boundaries with social content, honk if you think you need another voice chat app, and we unpack six trends we think will play a role this year. But first, the mistakes we made last week. Dun, dun, dun. First, we said Snapchat came out with a new AR filter that works with the new iPhone and that responds to the environment. That's not true. It was TikTok. So big goof on our part. Secondly, we mentioned WhatsApp updated its privacy policy, so users must accept data collection in order to continue using the platform. That's not entirely true. There are conflicting interpretations of those terms. We didn't actually read the terms and conditions like everyone else on the planet. Aside from Shira Ovide's piece from On Tech in the New York Times, the truth about your WhatsApp data. So we're going to leave that article in the episode notes so you can check it out if you want, or you're just going to press accept anyways. Now on with the show. First, our first click of the day, Bitmoji classrooms. Gisella, go.
Teachers are now using Bitmojis to interact with their students in virtual versions of themselves and their classrooms. Reminder, for those of you who don't know, Bitmoji that we talked about last week a little bit also is basically a cartoon avatar of yourself, which you can make using the Bitmoji app. And now teachers are doing this as an additional way to try and engage their students in this school from home scenario that we're all getting used to. And I love this. When I read about this, I was so excited. I kept Googling and looking for examples and I thought, how fun is this? So I asked my niece, Zoe, about this. She's 13. She's experiencing school from home since the pandemic, on and off. And she said one of her teachers does this. And I asked her, is it cool or lame? And she said, meh, it doesn't really make a difference to me, which I thought was such a good example of why a lot of marketing to Gen Zers doesn't work and why some of it does. It just shows how everything that we talked about in this podcast that we think, wow, this is awesome, this is new for the younger generations, is just the way the world is. It's normal. There's nothing whoa about it. So that was a big learning for me to keep in mind.
Yeah, there was nothing new for them. That's how they live. That's how they interact day to day. It's kind of like the beginning of the pandemic. Teachers were getting on TikTok to be fun and interact with their kids. And everyone's like, okay, cool. And then you find out that your teacher has like a second TikTok account that's kind of a little more X-rated. And then it gets weird. But moving on, click number two, Google tests new search feature that aggregates short form videos from TikTok and Instagram. So that's cool. That's a new feature for mobile.
Yeah, it expands on a previous test that I think we also discussed in a previous episode because we're getting to that point where we've discussed all these things, which is kind of cool. So earlier last year, they launched a kind of short videos feature in the Discover section, mostly from YouTube. But now the cool thing is that it comes from TikTok and Instagram. It's in beta. I downloaded the app again and checked it out. I didn't find anything yet, but for sure it's coming. I think it's cool. I mean, for Google, it means that they can maybe retain users longer in their platform. But also, I think it's important to keep in mind because it might signal to another shift in SEO that could be coming our way. We never know when SEO changes are going to happen, when Google changes their algorithm. When they do, they disclose very little. Yes, for sure, they have ulterior motives when they do changes. However, ultimately, it's supposed to improve user experience. And if we think about the way users have been consuming content and news and search in the past little while, it would make sense that video becomes a more prevalent part of SEO and even audio, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
One more thing to add here is that social media platforms are already used for search. So it's kind of a natural, I don't know, a natural segue. It's nice to see that Google kind of acknowledges this since they are the search platform by default. Now putting those results into their results mix kind of acknowledges the fact that users have already been using Twitter, Instagram to plan, you know, trips or to look at the news. So yeah, it's just kind of blending everything more seamlessly together.
Yeah, and using Google for what it is, it's a giant search engine. So helping it search through all those other social feeds simultaneously for whatever it is you're looking at just makes sense for them.
Mm-hmm.
All right, moving on to the bait of the week. Honk is this ICQ of 2020. It's a new mobile app called Honk that wants to be more of a real-time experience. Do you want to break this one down and why you think it's bait?
Well, I mean, do we need another one? Come on. Is this one that much more special or that different?
So what is Honk? What does it do?
It's like a chat room. People can come in and out. It can quote, honk at someone to get their attention. But I guess the big deal is that it's more live because you can see as people are typing and you can see if they're making typos and, you know, thinking and erasing and retyping. So yeah, I guess that's it. Their target is basically the young Gen Zers like Zoe and everyone else that age. And we know this because when you sign up, apparently you can enter your age, exactly what it is, or 21 plus, that's the option. So if you're older than 21, it doesn't matter how old you are, you're just old.
You're just old. That's fantastic. Thank you, Honk.
Yeah, we can move on, right?
Yeah, whatever. They're just looking to get bought by someone else, I think. So we're going to move on to the Switch, and that is retail in 2021. Obviously, we all know that this involves e-tail, e-com, social commerce, all of these different sort of lame terms. But what we're going to do now is we're going to unpack six tech trends that we think are going to continue to play a role in the future where we shop more from home. But while at the same time, we still crave brick and mortar experiences or interactive experiences with another human being. So Gisella, do you want to start breaking it down and start with haptics?
Yeah, haptics is kind of a fun one. It's subtle, but so rewarding. Like, you know, if you ever played a video game with, the manettes, the handles, how do you call them?
And the controllers.
Yeah, the controller. Thank you. That's what I was looking for. It kind of vibrates a little bit. There's a bit of a response. Or sometimes your phone, you know, when you're texting and someone texts you back and you have it in your hand, it vibrates a little bit. So it's subtle, rewarding experience that you get because it adds some physicality to the experience. So really think that this is something that could be leveraged a lot more in shopping. I'm sure it's coming our way. I mean, haptics seems like a next step in bridging that disconnect between real life and tech.
Yeah. And this is going to sort of extend into the live shopping experiences. So this is obviously no brainer, just like the shopping channel was kind of hot in the 80s and 90s. But here in 2021, it's going to be sort of live social based.
Mm-hmm. It's already happening. There's tons of brands that have done shoppable runways. We talked again last week about Walmart and TikTok's partnership for the holidays. They weren't the first ones. YouTube is now testing new ways to shop through video. Of course, we have Instagram Lives. Because of the pandemic, we saw a lot of brands start to offer shopping appointments via Zoom and other similar platforms, which is a bit of an extension of shopping through messaging apps, which is also exploding right now. So all these sorts of different ways to experience live shopping from home. And there is live with VR. There was an event that happened recently called the Fabric of Reality, which was like the epitome of all the technology in retail shopping. So you could like shop a runway, but you can also walk around and shop in these virtual spaces and interact in avatar. It was some crazy thing from the future that probably young kids feel it's normal.
And then after that, we are going to start talking about more and more about, you know, the real gamification of shopping and not just loyalty points, but within games and how those are being leveraged for brands.
Mm-hmm. So in 2020, we had already concerts in Fortnite. Remember, that seems like 50 years ago. It was only a few months back. And gamers are already used to purchasing things within games, whether it's with real money or with game money. And right now they could purchase merch, but you have to click out of the game to do the purchase. But it really seems like it's going to happen tomorrow or yesterday that you can actually shop while on the game real merch. Why not?
Why not?
Which brings us to
XR. So we've got AR, augmented reality, we've got VR, virtual reality, and now it is XR, so extended reality. And this is where the real and virtual of combined environments and human-machine interactions generated by computer technology and wearables is all being smashed together. So Gisella, is this basically like how everyone's trying to make that try-on experience for clothing, how they're trying to make it super accurate using a variety of interfaces? Is this what we're talking about?
I think so. I mean, it's the new acronym that we're going to hear more of for sure. We're all getting better at this, at trying on things virtually. We had brands like Burberry collaborate with Google Search to bring you like items in real scale so you can try them on. We see people trying shoes on Snapchat, TikTok's new lens that we talked about. We're also getting better at just like scanning things and knowing what they are. So like, it's been a while now that we can walk around and scan a dog with our lens on Snapchat or Google and learn what kind of dog that is. So imagine all that blending together into a kind of retail environment. Also cars, like we saw a lot of car brands, they had to like shift out of their showroom into a virtual version of this. So they've been using contextualizing apps, a little bit like IKEA as well, and other furniture companies where you can see things in the real life. So with cars, you could visualize it in your driveway and see if it met your vision of what you want to look like with this car. And there's also, of course, advertising getting into this. So there's new technology delivering placements where you can have some sort of augmented reality version of your ad. So really the world is like starting to come out of the screen more and more and come into the quote unquote real world, but in a non-real kind of way. There's something going on there.
Yeah. And that segues into the whole fitness thing that you wanted to touch on. So this is kind of where, you know, Equinox, you can have instructors wear clothes as they give online classes and members can then shop those items. You've seen Lululemon purchase Mirror. That was a big deal last year. Peloton's, you know, brought the gym into your home. There's lots of, you know, reports coming out that people are not going to be going back to gyms because everyone got used to working out from home. And then you're going to see all these different apps like Strava put together stuff. It's going to be that blend of how do you stay connected while being separate and then purchasing all of these different things simultaneously through all these different platforms. And then generally social commerce.
Yeah, it kind of reminds me, what was that brand? Was it Mary Kay? There was like a brand of cosmetics where everyone could be a salesperson and you could go around and sell this stuff and get a cut.
The Avon lady?
Yeah, maybe the Avon lady. I feel like that's the future of social commerce. Like anyone online can sell something and get a cut.
Well, isn't that just what influencers have been for the past 5 years?
A little bit. But there's also advertising and endorsements, but everyone's going to be able to do it in the future.
Any last ones?
Well, I do have a wishful thinking one, Mark.
Sure.
I wish for a 2021 of performance and installation art doing a comeback, especially now, like tomorrow. We can't go shopping. We can't do real life. We're tired of TV and screens because we haven't found that balance yet. I would love for stores to give me a reason to walk by their storefront on a weekly basis. Why not?
Yeah, it was one of those things at Christmas. I was trying to look for it to take my kid to. There used to be the whole, you know, retail windows and Christmas and all those sort of animatronic windows that were super fun. And there was one in Montreal that was outside the McCord Museum that we went to go visit, which is an old shop window style. And those were super fun. But of course, now you can make it digital. You can, you know, have these projections and it could be super fun.
Yeah, something to do that is not as risky as going inside and keeps us entertained and breathing some fresh air, hopefully without viruses.
Yeah. All right. So thanks, Cloudrick, for providing support for our podcast. We should state, obviously, the mistakes and opinions in this and all episodes that we record are our own.
Subscribe, give us a rating, share, listen to our sister podcast, Mondrew Moments.
See you next week.
Bye.
Bye.